First Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, if you have your Bible. First Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Let's pray together. Father God, even in this moment, I pray that you would speak to us from your word. We need you, Father. There is nothing that I can say that will be witty enough or intelligent enough to matter apart from the truth from your word. And Father, here in the worship center, in the venue, those watching online, those listening on the radio, there is nothing any of us could do today that would teach us more than your word. So I pray you would speak to us. God, we need you to move in power today among us. Please have your way. Lord, may we be reminded this is not about us. This is about you. You are our King. So, Father, speak to your children now, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm so glad to be in worship with you today. I'm so glad that we get to come together and sing praise to who God is and lift up his name, that we can be one church in two locations this morning, that we can be part of the universal church all over the world that's gathering today for worship. We are very much people that have been blessed by God Almighty. By show of hands, who wants to be blessed by God? Raise your hand. Okay, that's like asking who wants a fresh, hot Krispy Kreme, right? I mean, come on. That's a silly question, right? There's only one logical answer. I have this dream. Someday, I want to be like Oprah Winfrey, and I want to come in here and say, surprise, and have the deacons come down the aisles and say, you get a donut, and you get a donut. It'll be fun. Someday, we'll do it. Not yet, but someday it could happen. We've become a society, though, that has greatly watered down what it means to have the blessing of God. All you have to do is go online and search hashtag blessed. You search a hashtag and the word blessed on any social media site, and it'll pop up all the different ways people have used that and how it's been watered down and how we've misrepresented God's blessings. Here's some examples I found when I was preparing this message this week. I just searched hashtag blessed, and here's some of the posts that I saw. Got the closest parking spot on Black Friday. Hashtag blessed is what it said. Here's another one. Driving my brand new 2018 Lincoln Navigator. Hashtag blessed. And it was there. How about this one? Remote car starter on a snowy Monday morning. Hashtag blessed. That makes sense. And then they accidentally put cheese on my tater tots. Hashtag blessed. I thought, my goodness, of all the things to be. Now I'm going to be honest. I'm happy for all four of those people. I've experienced three of the four of those myself. But I would never say that makes us blessed. You need to understand that is not the blessing of God that is mentioned in the Bible. Look at what this passage is saying to us today. First, when we look at it, it talks about the blessing of God. It's speaking to believers. It's not speaking to non-believers. It's speaking to believers. It's people who already know Jesus. So the blessing of God that's mentioned here in 1 Peter 3:9 is not salvation. That is the ultimate blessing of God, eternal life. But that's not what's talking about right here. That's definitely one of the major blessings of God, but not for today's context. Why? Because this passage teaches that there is some work to be done to receive certain blessings of God. And by all means, hear me say today, there is no work on your part to be done to receive salvation. It's God who does the work. He provides salvation for you and I freely. You have not earned your way to heaven. Attending church no more gets you closer to God or another step towards salvation than anything else. It's about the grace of Jesus at work in us. So this is a different type of blessing than the one that is given freely by God, like salvation. Also, this passage cannot be separated from last week's passage, verse 8. They really go together. So I want to read it again and add last week's verse. So 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Now remember, we discussed this last week. If you were here and if you were not here, a quick summary that he has spent time, Peter has speaking to business people, slaves and masters, leaders and community leaders, civic leaders, husbands and wives, interactions between all types of people. And then he says this, finally, right here, verse 8, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So what is Peter saying? Peter's saying, all of you, finally, all of you, have these godly characters, qualities in your life, and let them affect your speech, and let them affect your actions. Now remember, 1 Peter was written to a group of people who were being persecuted. They were facing intense and growing persecution. So look at what he says in verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, Peter implies to a believer, you're being reviled. Evil is coming against you. He says, don't retaliate. Instead, bless the one who is cursing you. If you're writing things down, write it down this way. Speak grace-filled truth to those who revile you. Well, that's easy, right? Wrong. That's not very easy. That's difficult to do. This is not, though, some new idea that God has given to Peter right here. In fact, time and time again in Scripture, God shows us that we are to speak blessing and we are to speak kindly to those who persecute and speak negatively against us. We won't read all these verses, but here's a number of places that tell this very story. Matthew 5:44, Luke 6:27, Luke 6:35, Luke 23:24, Romans 12:14, Romans 12:17-21, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. That's just a few examples of the many places where we are told that our words and our reactions matter, and we are to bless those who curse us and speak life to those who would speak death back to us. There is no escaping this foundational truth. God's grace is showcased in our respectful reactions. God desires that you and I be respectful in how we respond to people. Listen, this is just real life, because how many of us have wanted to not be respectful, be disrespectful when someone speaks negatively or hurtfully to us, or someone who does simply throw darts at us in certain ways? It's so quick to want to shout back at them or to push back in certain ways. But the Scripture shows time and time again that grace-filled response is the key, because it makes such a difference for the kingdom of God. But interestingly enough, this passage in 1 Peter, he tells us that we receive a blessing based off our decision to bless those who mean us harm. Look at verse 9 again. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. He says, by you not retaliating, by you responding with blessing instead of cursing, you can receive a blessing. By what comes out of your mouth, you can receive a blessing. So the question is, What is the blessing he's referring to? What is the blessed promise that God's speaking about when he says we should do this, that our words and actions and grace and kindness matter? Well, I'll tell you this, the answer right here, he's not saying you'll have long life. He's not saying you'll have material wealth. He's not saying you'll get those cheesy tots. He's not saying any of that. The answer is found in Peter's quote from Psalm 34. You may not realize it, but right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, Peter is quoting from Psalm 34. So look at what he says in verse 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good deeds, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So if that reveals the blessing, what is the blessing? I would say if you put this verse in proper context and you read what he says and how he responds with quoting Psalm 34, that the blessing is this: the eyes of the Lord are on you and his ears are open to your prayers. That the blessing that he speaks of here, when we respond with kindness, when we respond with grace-filled truth, when we speak in a certain way and act in a certain way, the eyes of the Lord are on us and his ears are open to our prayers. What does that mean? It means God is observing you. God's caring for you. God is coaching you. He is encouraging you. He's protecting you. He's empowering you. God will hear your prayers and respond to your prayers. That doesn't mean we always get the answer we want. It doesn't mean we are free from suffering and difficulty. In fact, in 1 Peter, we're going to see that suffering and sorrow are a given for all believers at some point in their life. But what it's saying to us, when his eyes are on us and his ears are attentive to our prayers, it says that we get to experience God's protection, God's provision, and we know our position in him. So my question for you this morning is then, how does this scripture tell us we receive this blessing? Three things if you're writing them down. We have to watch our mouth, watch our steps, and watch our desires. We watch our mouth, we watch our steps, we watch our desires. Let's start with watch your mouth. Go to verse 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good deeds, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Friends, if you want the blessing of God, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Speak truth and speak life through the truth, though. I love Psalm 19:14. A lot of you may have it by memory. You may not realize it's the verse you have memorized. I learned it as a song many years ago. But it says this: may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to encourage you, if you want to watch your mouth and what you say, memorize Psalm 19:14. Every teenager in the room needs to memorize Psalm 19:14. Every adult in the room needs to memorize Psalm 19:14. If you're a senior adult, you need to memorize Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I would challenge you every morning when you first wake up, quote that verse to yourself. God, today, can the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. At the midterm of your day and the end of your day, evaluate. Have my words done that? Have they been pleasing to God or not? So Peter tells us to watch our mouths. But not only watch your mouth, he says, watch your steps. Look at the next part of verse 11. The second half of verse 11 says this: let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him turn, of 1 Peter 3:11, let him turn away from evil and do good. What does that mean? It means watch your step. Before you react to a criticism, before you choose a course of action, before you do anything, stop and ask the greatest question ever. We've talked about this at least twice before in the past 7 years. The greatest question you could ever ask is three simple words. Before you react, before you respond, before you do anything, just ask this question. Is it wise? Is it wise? Is it wise to take the next step that I'm about to take? Is it wise to say this to a person that I want to say? Is it wise to do this? Is it wise to do that? I would encourage you to use this question over and over again. Is it wise to make the next purchase I'm about to make? Is it wise to say yes to this good opportunity, or would it be more wise to say no? Is it wise to respond to this person who has brought criticism to me in a certain way? Listen, if we could just grab a hold of those three simple words and put them into practice in every aspect of our life, it will make a difference. I can't tell you how many times that I have sat with people in my office that have found themselves in a great struggle, mess, turmoil, disaster, all because of one bad decision leading to another bad decision, leading to another bad decision. A little wisdom on the front end, and oh, how it would have changed everything. I'll be honest, I can't tell you how many times in my own life I have had to pay the price or pay something off or deal with something because I made an unwise decision in the first place that led to another unwise decision that led to another unwise decision. So ask that question. Not only should we watch our mouth, we watch our step. We ask, is this wise, the next step I'm about to take? And then if you keep reading, in Psalm 34, it also says, watch our desires. Look at the rest of 1 Peter 3:11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. We seek after it. Pursue it. We pursue something. That implies an active desire and action on our part. We are actively going after something. We don't just sit around and hope for the best and say, well, whatever happens, happens. We pursue God's best. Think about it this way. Think about a struggle, a situation, a persecution, a relationship conflict you may be having right now. Are you pursuing God's best in this, or are you waiting just to see what would happen? We have to watch our desires. We have to make a choice that we'll pursue it. We'll pursue what God would really want and would be the best according to his word and according to his plan. It's active, very active. I've met a lot of people, though, who much prefer just to pretend something's not wrong, to pretend the problem's not there, to sweep it under the rug and just wait and see what happens. That is not a scriptural principle. I would truly encourage you to pursue God's plan, to seek after God's righteousness and what his desire would be. It always makes all the difference in the world. Now, I don't know about you, but there are very few people in this world who enjoy conflict. There are a few people, and I think there's usually something a little wrong with them if they really enjoy that kind of conflict. For the most part, it's something we all would like to shy away from. But if you ever get to the place where you say, I'm afraid of conflict or afraid of difficulty, or afraid of speaking the truth, so instead I'll just sit and wait and see what happens. Friends, you are not seeking what God's best is. We're not seeking to be helpful in a situation. It's like in Matthew chapter 5 when it tells us that we are to be peacemakers. That's more than just a peacekeeper. We are to seek peace for others. We're to seek it out, to be one who helps instill that in the life of those around us. It's actively pursuing that. So from this passage today, it's pretty simple, cut and dry. He says, if you really want to receive the blessing of God, which is God's provision, God's protection, your identity in Christ, him moving in your life, you have to do three things. Watch your mouth, watch your step, and watch your desires. These three commands lead to the blessing found in 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God's protection, God's provision, and our position in him. If I were to ask you to evaluate your own life for a moment, how this applies to you, do you struggle ever with your words? I do. There are times that I struggle. I am a talker by nature. Obviously, I mean, you hear me on a regular basis. I'm a very comfortable person to speak out loud, so if you ask me a question, I usually probably am going to respond. I very rarely will just sit and not respond. Some people are much more reserved, and that's not their gift. That's not their ability necessarily. But in some ways, part of what I do is I speak for a living. And so for me, if I'm not careful, no matter what, whatever my temperament is, that's what will come out in my speaking. It can be anger. It can be excitement. I'm a pretty happy person for the most part, but if I ever really get down, I can be sarcasm. It can be fear and anxieties in my own life. Now, some of you would never hear most of that, but the people closest to me might hear that. My sons might hear some of my anger and harshness. My wife would hear some of my anxieties. But most of us just hear the good things. But if I'm confessing to you this morning, there are times in my life that I do not watch my mouth the way I should. Now, I don't mean that I say cuss words. I don't. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. That's never been my issue. I've never been one of those that really struggled with foul language in that way. But I can tell you, it's pretty foul sometimes in the attitude that comes out of my mouth. What about you? Do you sometimes have to watch your words? And then when it comes to someone speaking negatively against you, how quick it is, maybe you don't speak back to them, but you might speak it to someone else, your frustrations about that person. I would encourage you to stop and understand that if we want the blessing of God in our life, we will watch our mouths very carefully, as it says here in 1 Peter. And then to watch our steps, that we'll make wise choices if I'm confessing again. There are times that I feel like I truly follow God's word and make wise choices and decisions. And then there are those times that I let my own plan get ahead of God's. That I decide, even if it's something God wants and has said okay to, but he's just said not yet, I decide, well, I'll just help make this happen a little quicker. And so I assume the role of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever assumed the role of the Holy Spirit? Listen, I make a pretty good Chris Johnson. I make a lousy Holy Spirit. And the same could be said of you. And so sometimes, though, we take on that role and we start trying to coerce and maneuver and empower and position things so it'll happen just the way we want instead of waiting for God's timing for it to happen. And so we don't make the wisest of steps for the next step. We might make an unwise step in how we approach something. So I would encourage us all to take a second to stop in the middle of any criticism, in the middle of any struggle, to stop and reflect and say, is how I'm about to respond, is this wise? Is it wise in what I'm about to say? What are the ramifications that will come? Is it truth? And is it grace-filled? We ask those questions. And then lastly, for my desires. There are days that I strongly desire to follow after whatever God wants of my life, that I want to be used by him in so many ways. And then there are times that I struggle just to feel it. You ever have those days? You ever had those days when you were consistently reading God's word and you're reading it and it's as if the words cannot get off the page into your heart? If I'm confessing that every now and then there are days like that for me where I'm reading and some days it connects so quickly to me what God is saying, and other days I can read and when I'm done it's as if I didn't read it all because I can't even really comprehend what I read. It's as if that just didn't connect with me. And so on those few and far in between days, I stop and I realize that sometimes my desires are more about what I want. I can desire my own comfort over God's plan. I can desire the things that I want over his plan. And so the reality is, if I can say to you this morning, this passage in 1 Peter, it's for me. I, Chris Johnson, your pastor, I need to watch my mouth. I need to watch my desires and I need to watch my steps. And my prayer is that if the same is true for you, that you would stop and reflect and simply say to God, Father, help me. I want to be blessed by you. Not those fake blessings we hear about in this world, but I want the true blessing, the power, the provision, and the position of God in my life. That's what I want. And I hope that's what you want as well. So what about you? What's the next step for you regarding God's blessing in your life? Now listen, you're going to have conflict. It's going to happen. You're going to face persecution. It's going to happen. Life's going to be difficult at some point. So here's a few things I would say to you and I want you to think about in your life. Maybe this is your next step. First is to realize that God's grace is showcased in your respectful reactions. Maybe some of you are not the most respectful in how you respond to people. If that's you, I would encourage you to repent today. Just repent. Ask God to give you a new way to respond to others. For others, it's, you say this simply, I just got to watch my mouth. The good, the bad, whatever. I've got to watch my mouth. You want to commit to memorize Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Maybe make a commitment today to memorize that. Maybe for some of us today, it's that we need to watch our step. We need to begin to ask that greatest question, is it wise? Maybe you're facing a financial decision and you're about to make an unwise choice. Maybe you're facing a family relationship decision and you're about to make an unwise choice. Maybe you're facing a work decision. Maybe you're facing a decision involving church. I don't know, whatever the case may be. Would you stop and would you ask, is this wise? In light of what God is doing, in light of his word, is this wise? And respond that way. Then lastly, maybe for those of us here today, there's some that just need to watch our desires. We need to ask God to give us a desire to pursue him. Ask him to give us a desire to follow him in those ways. What would God have you to do today? Simple message. I pray it's for you. Would you bow with me in prayer? Their heads bowed and eyes closed. What about you? You struggle sometimes with your words, your reactions. Would you repent and ask God to give you a desire to respond in the way that he has already empowered you and gifted you to do so by his Holy Spirit? You struggle sometimes with your choices. Maybe today you repent and you say, God, help me make wise choices with my resources, with my time, with my reactions and my responses. Maybe for you it's the desire. You just don't have that desire to pursue God's best and pursue his plan and to seek it. And so you want to ask God to help you seek after that. Father God, I pray that today, if there's one who needs to respond to you, that we would do so. If there's one here today that needs to give their life to you, they would know that that is the wisest choice they will ever make. Maybe there's someone here that you're calling to unite with our faith family, and that's the next wise step you're calling them to be a part of serving together here. Maybe there are others that just need to come and get on their knees for a moment and ask you to work with their mouth, work with their desires, work with their steps of reaction. Maybe there are other needs that someone needs prayer for. I pray that we would follow after whatever you are saying for us to do. God, that you'd have your way among us today. Lord, please move now in this first part of our invitation. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing.